Party time. Okay, guys, so welcome on my session that is related to Hackers Not Halted. First of all, let me introduce myself, who I am, what I'm doing in front of you, and why I'm talking about hackers. So my name is Paula Januszkiewicz, and I am an MCT MVP on enterprise security. I'm a penetration tester. I have got my own company. I also work with a company that is based in US. It's called iDesign. And what I do for a living, it's more to be on the bad side rather than on the good side, because as I mentioned, I do penetration testing. I also do have an access to a source code of Windows. And that's, of course, legally. I haven't stolen anything. And that's something that allows me to play a little bit more if it's about security. I'm super passionate about Windows internals. And hopefully, you're going to get some passions out of the tools that I'm going to present to you today. Where this talk comes from? So let me put you the story that is related behind that. Well, the talk comes from a very simple fact. That every time I'm doing my penetration test, I'm jumping at the customer side, I always see all these tiny things, tiny disturbing things that are allowing myself, for example, to get access inside and do something. For me, it's just a pure pleasure. For my customer, maybe not. But the concept is that with that kind of situations, and whenever we are familiar with that kind of situations, we're able to protect ourselves from at least some of those. My goal for today is actually very, very simple. Is to show you a couple of situations in which it's pretty difficult to handle with all the situations that we have. Usually it's a misconfiguration. Sometimes it's, for example, the availability of USB ports. Sometimes it's an offline access. Sometimes it's something else. But all these situations are happening. They are actually happening. They are allowing people to get inside somebody's network. So this is the goal. I would like you to leave this room with the feeling that you picked one of the things that we discussed through, and then maybe or maybe not, you're going to implement it at home, work, or at least just like the thing. So the major conclusion that comes out of the talk is that whenever we are playing with operating system, it's just a piece of code. This just, of course, should be capitalized. But operating system consists of several functions, several files. They work with each other. And if you are thinking, where else I could put my malware, you are wondering, like, maybe malware should be a driver, or maybe it should be a service. Or maybe I should figure out some vulnerability and in explorer.exe. Or maybe I should, for example, figure out some executable that's going to be clicked by administrator. Or maybe I'm going to load my malware through some DLLs that are loaded by something, somebody, somewhere to the memory. So what I'm saying is that whenever we are thinking through security and operating system on the same page, the stories are over. They are ending somewhere. And as long as we know what are the areas of focus, then we are able to prepare ourselves a little bit better to the bedtime. Agenda for the session is very simple. We're going to discuss about all the situations in which we are not behaving very clearly, which are not mitigated, in which hackers are not halted. Yes, so all the idea that comes with the session. Then we're going to discuss a couple of things that we can do using offline mode. Offline mode, maybe it doesn't sound really fancy, but offline mode is actually super cool because it allows to move your imagination and it allows to figure out where put that particular file or maybe something that's going to do things for you. So it's not about destroying stuff. It's about being a little bit more sophisticated. And online access. So all apps. All problems that are brought to the field whenever you open up some web page, whenever you, for example, click somewhere, and so on and so on. And then we're going to do a small summary. So tell me, please, what is wrong in this picture? Yeah, because I think everything is okay. We've got this confidentiality from the security perspective here. We've got availability. Maybe integrity. Nobody's playing with our files. Nobody's entering this place, probably. But it's definitely not us, it's the server. But what is wrong is that these guys or girls or whoever is actually sitting over there, they're using operating system that's support period is going to end up in 2015 in July. That's wrong. So all the sessions that we're going to discuss through, all the issues that we're going to discuss through, is going to be about all the stories that could happen or happened because I saw that at the customer side. And I'll tell you a couple of tricks how to mitigate that. We're going to start from fungi and bacteria that live and propagate in the mud. Are you okay with that? Are you sure? Okay. So for that, let's bring some fungi and bacteria. And as you see, we've got a website in which we've got socks for horses. Socks for horses, this is a small shop that allows to buy some socks. And if you are like riding a horse, then lucky you. If you're not, then you can search for the other website. Because what I'm planning to do, I'm going to do some small stuff that is related to what I can actually buy. In that scenario, I'm using Fiddler. Fiddler is a free web debugger that you can download and use for the certain HTTP, either HTTPS traffic. And the interesting case is that if you want to do that, you need to configure Fiddler appropriately first and go to Fiddler options, then you go to HTTPS, then you specify that you would like to do HTTP, capture HTTPS connects, and then decrypt HTTPS traffic so that you are able to be so-called man in the middle. This man in the middle is going to be a pretty legal man in the middle because you're going to be in the middle and you're going to be the one that is actually establishing a communication with a certain server. Okay, guys, so the story is like that. We've got Fiddler configured. Let me close this window. And the thing is that I need to specify for the certain website also one more thing. If I would like to edit some traffic at the beginning, I need to go to rules, automatic breakpoints, and then before requests. And then I am able to manipulate the traffic when it comes to the field. Let me minimize that window a little bit. Okay, well, that's actually interesting. That's better. Okay, so this website, I'll put it actually to my site. This website allows to buy stuff. So let me basically go to the shop, buy now. But based on what I said, you probably noticed nothing is going on because the website is awaiting my reaction. So I will go here to inspectors, web forms, and then I will check out if there is something popping up in the value for the parameter that I would like to pass to the shop. At that certain point, I can only click run to completion because there is nothing. And I can browse through several other websites that are in the back and check out what is going on. So I have already almost entered a shop. I can approve a couple of websites here waiting for my approval as well. So this is this tunnel to design card. So there is already something about money going on, which is kind of cool. And then I will check out what do I have in the back. Still something. This is the forms that I am using here. Perfect. And based on that, I'm actually able to buy worm blood through breath front. That sounds like fun. I don't want to wear it, of course, but you never know. In Poland, it's very cold, so maybe I'm going to use it. Okay, so design card, next, run to completion. And here we go with the fun thing. Because in here, you can see that these woolen socks are crazy expensive as for socks, please. So I think that we might be a little bit geeky here. Oh, my Fiddler, it's hardworking. we might be a little bit geeky here, and what we may do, and what I will do, I will actually change that price over here. As long as it starts functioning, I will run it again, to be sincere, just to avoid some problems. Okay, so let me be back. We need the warmers. Here we go. Let me run Fiddler. It happens. Okay, here we go with Fiddler. Yep, and I will do the same thing. Rules, automatic breakpoints before requests. And here we go. So I'll move it to my site. I will click Add to Cart. And at that stage, I will do the same operation, but I will just do it a little bit quicker. So let's do it like that. So inspectors, web forms, at least you remember how to buy free stuff. OK. How much? $4.95. Maybe? OK. You're very generous. OK. Still getting there. Next. And here we go. $4.95. You want it? You got it. OK. You can also play with shipping and handling, of course, which is expensive as well. So that's the concept that we'll be playing with. All the situations that are not checked for, that are there, but they should not be there. When I was doing a pen test at the customer site, and this was actually a pretty interesting project, because the goal for that was to fire administrator, because he was just doing a bad job. I felt very bad at the end. But the thing was that this guy was not implementing any kind of procedures, any security procedures. What is even more, and probably you know this guy somewhere, he was the father of the infrastructure. Mine toys. My. Yes? Everything that he was playing with was from the beginning. And he was really having a personal relationship with a network. That causes a very interesting scenario, which means that he put a little bit of ignorance to security. And I was responsible, and my husband as well, because my husband is doing the same stuff, for basically getting inside and proving that you are doing just a bad job. Yes? Kind of awkward, yes? But the story is that at the end of the whole thing, I was sitting in a hotel room, and I'm like, oh, let's check out what do we have interesting from the outside. Yes? How do they look like and so on. Did I mention it was a bank? And the thing is that I was able to get access to the put by, like, in the testing procedures, an application that was responsible for managing credit papers for people that took credits in a bank. So if Anna, if she earns X dollars, I know. What is her social security number? I know. What is her address? How much did she get? What is her loan? I know all the stuff. So the interesting conclusion that was coming out of that, it was that developers, they decided to check out how stuff works in the internet. What's the difference? I'm sorry. It's just an IP address that the website is accessible from. So this was the concept. And at the end of that, the thing was that, of course, they didn't check out, they didn't make any kind of penetration tests. And I don't want to scare you, or I don't want to show you the simplicity, this is wrong or this is bad, but it's a real story. And it was a bank. People put their money in it. So this was kind of crazy. Okay, let's switch to an offline access. Offline access, that's something that is very nice because it allows us to solve all the problems that are coming with, for example, misconfiguration of the operating system, you misconfigured AppLocker, you, for example, have a big log file, something cracked, your bootloader cracked, whatever. Offline, it's something that allows you to do whatever you want with the low privileges, the lowest and the biggest that you can get ever whenever you jump into an infrastructure. The interesting thing is that offline access, it's a fantastic place to jump into to make an attack. Because you just, for example, boot up yourself from some device, and then you are able to inject some files to the certain operating system in the certain place. The very nice piece of art that I like about Windows, and not only Windows, because I'm playing with Linux and so on as well, the only thing that I like is that we can go as much granular as we can, and it's only about your imagination what you're going to do. But the thing is, it's nice to do it in a way that does not really require any tool. So to get inside operating system, do your thing, get whatever you want, do not leave any tool behind you, obviously, and do not use any tool for that. Maybe you don't have a chance to upload it, I don't know. So that's something that I'm a really, really fan of. That's something that is often very ignored. Because offline access, we may say like, yeah, but all the management that we've got, they do have laptops encrypted,
right?
Oh, and I'm an admin, by the way. And I do have my laptop also encrypted. I use BitLocker or whatever, TrueCrypt, whatever. But on the other hand, there is this tiny computer standing in a corner that is used by... There is no other computer. It's just... Yeah. standing somewhere in a corner. And the thing is there a BitLocker over there? And who logs into that certain workstation? At that conference, there were a couple of mentions about... pass the hash. So let's say there's this Anna, she's working in an accountant department. I'm picking accountant department with a reason, by the way. Yes? A lot of databases, very nice ladies, and so on and so on. It's just so, whenever I'm doing my pen test, the first thing that I go to is like, I'm sorry, where's the accountant department? Okay, so let's start. And the thing is that that's something that at some point might be overlooked. Whenever, for example, that computer is left behind, somebody may log into it, and somebody else may monitor for the logins. So let me bring you the story to the field. I'm a very huge fan of clicking. So let me show you the technical story that is standing behind what I want to say. Wait a moment. Okay. Is there a chance we could... Okay. Anybody from management? Can we do something about it? Because it's not displaying, like, super clearly. Yep. Okay. Yeah, let's, for now, do this like that. Okay, so the thing is that what I'm going to do, I'm going to reboot myself from the Windows installation media. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to boot up from the Windows 8 media. I cannot see, when I enlarge it, it goes to the top. Uh-oh. Excuse me, just a minute. Technical stuff, everybody's going to be beneficial from that. No. Yeah, I'll appreciate it. Okay. Yeah, maybe let's make it like that for now. So, what I will do, I will reboot. And at that stage, I just need to resort to the certain point. Okay, the interesting thing for now is that when I am in offline mode, I can do, as I mentioned, whatever. But the interesting stuff is that there is no LSA, SS, local security authority working on that level, which means that you can do whatever, yes? So you can inject something in the operating system files, you can play with services, you can play with some drivers, and so on. And the best thing about that is that in Windows, there is no mechanism that is, for example, checking for signatures for the files that the service is running on. There is no mechanism that is checking for signatures for DLLs that you load. So the stage is yours. You can put here whatever you want. Nobody will check for it. Okay, So let me click Next. Let me please repair your computer. And then let me go to Troubleshoot. And that's kind of funny always for the client, because it's Advanced Options. And then you go to the Super Advanced option. In Server, of course, it's just a command prompt. That requires 2 weeks of coding. OK, regedit it. And at that stage, what I can do, I can do a couple of things. I can load, for example, in a software branch, but that's a registry that is on the Windows PE operating system, but I can load it here. I can load something that is my favorite way to get access to an operating system, which is kind of a geeky way to do it as well. Windows System 32 config. And I'm going to pick the hive that is called software. So this is the first thing. And I'm going to put some comment here, very meaningful. And then Windows, Microsoft, Windows NT. Here we go, current version. And then I'm going to pick image file execution options. The name stands for itself, I would say. We've got some image file, we've got some options. So what we need to do, we need to create a new key that's going to be named utilman, utilman.exe. And in here, we're going to put a string value that's going to be called debugger. And I'm going to debug utilman with cmd.exe. Utilman, it's nothing but accessibility settings. So on-screen keyboard, magnifier, narrator, and this kind of stuff, yes? So the first injection is done. I'm not using any tool. OK, great. The next thing I would like to show you is actually my injector for the service in offline mode. And this is in offline folder. In here, I've got installer and some service. Let me go to installer. There. And installer one more time. And over there, I got offcmd. Offcmd, notepad offcmd, looks like that. And that's something that is using, basically injecting at the beginning, connecting to the registry of the operating system, then creating a key that's going to be a definition of the service, operating system service, so services.msc, basically. And in here, I'm going to create an Italian service that is called Badone. And that Italian service is going to download WCE, which is one of my favorite tools if it's about getting passwords in a clear text from the operating system. Also getting hashes, like elevating yourself, blah, blah, blah. So all the geeky security stuff that you can do with identity. It's called Windows Credentials Editor. It's a free tool that you can download from the web page. And it uses something that I called, we should not call it, you know, vulnerability. You should call it with the more positive energy into it. It uses an issue that is in operating system that is related to a local security authority's secrets. When something is called secret, it's supposed to be a secret. Supposed to be. This is a key word here. So the thing is that in operating system, whenever you are putting a password somewhere, for example, you are creating a service, service is running on a certain account, you log in, maybe let's make it simple, everything is going back in here. When you see, when you check it out, what is inside, you see all the stuff that you put inside. There is no separation, nothing. It's just the one bag. If you open it up, you're going to see the things, the old things, secrets, your secrets, somebody else's secrets, services secrets, task scheduled task secrets, whatever. Okay, so let's fire it up. Paula's coming. Okay. So, done. Yes? Very, very simple. Okay, so we are done. Two injections made. Let's continue to boot up. And what I did at that stage, I injected two things. First of all, I set up a debugger for utilman, and it's going to be cmd.exe. And then I installed in the offline mode operating system service that's going to be dumping the clear text passwords and sending it to my website. Why not? OK. Do you see this miserable thing here? Tiny circle asking for clicking. It's called accessibility settings. So kind of nice to access. If I check it out, I'm whatever, as you see, local system, which means I can do everything except for deleting myself. Anti-authority system, it's a guy that can have a session before you got your own session. So the conclusion that comes from that point right now, the lesson learned, is that whenever we are running something, there are also other things that are running the other things. So for example, we are here having a WinLogon session, and in that WinLogon session, the user can have its own session, its local system. You can have your own, but it just looks different. Okay. So we are done. What I could do, of course, but of course you can imagine that I can do whatever I want. Net user, net local group administrators. And then some typo. That's better. Administrator Paula. Yes, I can do net user Paula password. Yes, enter. And I'm going to have the Paula's password. So this is the concept that I want to show. The next thing, though, it's a little bit more geeky. Because, let me authenticate myself. What I can do at that point, you see, by the way, some message? Because I loaded my piece of malware right now. Any integrity check? Nothing. That's the point. How do you know? Well, you don't. If you don't, check out what is the difference in between Friday, Friday. Yes? So at that point, let me enter to my website, because things are already going on. And I would like to show you one interesting concept that I was able to talk through. This is my password. I'm dumping users' passwords in a clear text every 15 seconds. When you log in, you're going to be on the list. Yes? And that comes from one simple scenario, pass the hash. Yes? When you establish a session with my laptop, and I am a local admin at that point, I will dump your password in a clear text. And that's possible thanks to a couple of solutions that we've got. For example, one of the solutions that are possible, so I use WCE, if you want to remember that. I'm going to use command prompt for that. Or maybe let me make it on the domain controller. It's going to be a little bit nicer. Yep, and here we go, domain controller. The interesting story in the domain controller is that there are many users logged on, might be, or it might be even better to show it on the terminal server, in which you've got many users logged on. And at that point, let me move myself to desktop. And there is a tool that I'm super proud to talk about, because my team is helping Benjamin to develop the tool. Benjamin, he's from France, so excuse my French. He said that he will make the world safer if the world's going to be in, if the tool's going to be in French, so that he will prevent spreading. Ha ha ha. Yeah, sure. Okay, so Mimikatz is the tool, and the thing is that I can do a couple of things with Mimikatz. For example, first thing that I can get, I can first of all grab myself a debug privilege. So as a debug privilege, that's something that describes local system, which allows me to talk to local security authority subsystem. Otherwise, if I don't do that, the effect is going to be very simple. You remember blaster, 30 seconds reboot, and this kind of stuff? This is when you touch a local security authority subsystem. If I don't do this, if I don't grab myself as a debug privilege, that's going to happen. OK, guys, so let's do it. Inject process local security authority subsystem.exe. Secure LSA. DLL. I'm injecting a DLL to a local security authority subsystem. And at that moment, I can grab all the secrets that are in the secrets of local security authority. So, for example, at get logon passwords, I'm able to see in a clear text everybody that is logged on to the certain machine, for example, myself. What is the usefulness of that? So that we can learn something, we can take it, and so on. Well, the usefulness is if you want to be on the bad side, that's very useful, obviously. The next thing is that at some point, if you would like to, for example, your wife or your husband is like, hey, honey, can I use your eBay, please? Can I use like your computer? And this is like your business computer. And you're like, oh, no, no. Oh, honey, you know, this is my business stuff. Don't touch it. But you can be nice. And you can say, of course, of course. But let me create a profile for you. Can you put your password, please? I'm not looking. And then Shiri is like, mm-mm-mm. I like flowers and USBs. And what you're able to do, if this person logs in, then you are able to grab the person's passwords. You can say, just leave it, lock your desktop, and then you log in, and then you will grab it, yes? So I call it an issue, yes, because it's an architecture problem. It's a problem. It should not be like that, obviously. And that's something that we need to be aware of. Okay, guys, the next thing that I wanted to show you when we are discussing the services and so on is related to how the passwords are stored in a certain services in the operating system. So for that, let me basically run services msc. And over there, I get a couple of services. One of the services is running as administrator. It doesn't really matter as who. It matters that it's not a built-in account. It's not a local system. It's not a network service. It's not a local service. So what about that kind of story? Can you answer me one question? Can SQL Server run when you plug off the network cable? Come on, just yes or no? Yes, of course. Yes? Of course it can run. The question is, how SQL Server, whenever you are rebooting a server, still runs? SQL Server runs on the service, right? Service is using some identity, right? Identity must be verified against something to be able to be used, right? So versus who? We are comparing the certain amount of data whenever the network cable is not plugged in, and you're running SQL Server on a domain account. OK. So let me show you based on what? Based on the password in the registry. OK. So let me jump my tools. And let me jump to psexec. psexec minus s, which stands for. Um, And what he's coding is he's coding right now the possibility to access certain secrets that are assigned for services. As you see here, I got the SQL service. SQL service. And the interesting thing, if you see it, you already know, is that as long as the service is running on the account that is not a built-in account, the password is in the registry, period. Who can grab it? Anybody who has access to the local workstation, and if you are not using cryptography. If you are using BitLocker, for example, then you need to pass some keys in an offline mode. That's obvious, yes? If you are a user and you are a local admin, you have still BitLocker implemented, but you are a local admin, that's also possible. So that's what I mean by accountant department. They run a lot of databases, yes? Ladies complain. I would like to install the software. And then you're like, whatever, yes? And if she is a local admin, I'm sorry. Okay. So this is the field. So let's talk about some mitigation over here, because we're all talking about the bad stuff. Now it's time for some positive stuff. The positive stuff is that a couple of things that I showed you may basically happen because, A, we were able to boot up from the certain media. B, we were, for example, at some point, local admins. Then we can inject stuff, of course. But offline access means there were no any kind of cryptography implemented. As long as there is a BitLocker or something, at least at that level, user cannot access a certain workstation. For the service that we had, so WCE that was dumping the passwords, there is no HTTP monitoring implemented. Well, it's hard to say that, to be sincere, because what I can do, I can gather all data to the certain file, and when the 0 day comes, I can publish everything to the web. And you will never notice that, because it's going to be one hit. And you're like, something happened, some traffic, whatever. So, and it's the beauty of that is that my service is going through HTTP out to the internet. Can you browse internet from your company? Yes. My service can work in your company. Wah, wah, wah. BitLocker. What we've got related to that? Well, it's available since Windows Vista. We already know it. It protects us from the offline attack. If somebody steals your laptop, then this person won't be able to get access to your data. The interesting thing is that keys are assigned to the certain machines, which means that if you've got people sharing PC, they might have, though, two key protectors. But in general, it's a protector for the machine. Yes? A couple of things are, if whenever you are attacking a BitLocker, it's something that is not really visible to a user. And it's not visible for a user because the BitLocker, in that case, has its own storage in which we are able to get protectors, which are keys that are protecting the encrypted drive. But what about that? You know what's that? Except for the fact it's a very, very cheap pen drive. Looks like. Has no logo. Actually, it has a Microsoft label, but so that I don't lose it. But pen drive. It's actually a keyboard. Doesn't look like, but it has a keyboard chipset in it. It works like that. If I plug it in, I can type. Simple and nice. Okay. So what is the case in this case, something that is called a rubber ducky? This is called rubber ducky. If you are searching that, if you will be searching that for the in the internet, rubber ducky is the word. Rubber because it's rubber, ducky because it's ducky. Yes? This is the only explanation that I found. Okay, so what is the scenario? Let me basically duplicate my desktop so that you can see what is going on in here. And let me even make it like that. You can see all the stuff that I have in my desktop. I'm a big fan of raccoons, by the way, as you probably noticed. Anyway, I'm plugging it in. And let's say the story is like that. I'm doing a pen test, and it's actually a real story. I'm doing a pen test. And I'm sitting next to the administrator for the first day, discussing all the nice stuff like, hi, what kind of infrastructure do you have? Could you please show me all the schemas? Blah, 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 blah. And I ask one of the basic questions. Can you show me your SLAs? And it always takes time, yes? We're like, that should be supposed to be over there, yes? It always works. You never have SLAs here. You got over there, yes? And that over there means a lot, because what I do when you go over there, I do that. What girls do when nobody's watching? This is what they do. Okay, so because it's a keyboard, I don't really have to do anything. My whole presentation could look like that. It will be very, very nice. But at some point, something's going to happen. And this particular small thing works with a delay. And it started to work. My hands are here. And I'm starting to type stuff to that desktop. So I call it a kind of cheap bypass of UAC. As you see, I'm able to do it like that. If you're an admin, lucky me. If you're not, then I will steal your data. That's the story. And here we go. Manage BDE. I'm adding to your store, to your computer, 000 protector, which means I will always remember that. I'm adding also some additional ones, so some random. And then later on, I'm gonna list them all. And as you see, I've added them. Another thing that I would like to show you is that right now I will start building a script line by line, because what I would like to do, I will have your keys available on my website. I don't know where you are. I just plug in these small things. One day, maybe it's working with a bigger delay. It downloads some script, it executes it, might be like that. So I'm building script line by line so that later on, I will be able to connect myself to my FTP server with the username and password you're going to see in a moment in the screen, upload your BitLocker keys to my website, and just store them for our grandchildren, yes? Okay, so this is the logon process. And as you see, I had some file, uploaded it. The funny thing about that, and of course, let me show you the website. The funny thing about that is that at this certain moment, you are actually able to see things. You're able to see what is going on. If I wanted to make it fast, I won't put delays over there. I'm putting delays in between commands so that you could sort it. Normally, it's like, and you're like, so what do you want it? I'm like, no, nothing, doc. Oh, SLAs. Oh, that's great. Thank you. And you know, I'm like, I got you, man. Okay. malware demo, BitLocker keys. Here we go. These are my keys uploaded. Yes, or maybe your keys. Okay, so this is the story. So this is the BitLocker keys. The conclusion that comes from that part is that we should definitely watch our stuff. We should have all these policies with a locking console. The funny thing is that I was delivering a training, because I wrote a couple of trainings on security. I was delivering a training for security people, and they went for lunch, and they didn't lock their desktop on a security training. It was hilarious. And I'm like, they came, I'm like, really, guys, really? Okay, so I think, personally, that Facebook did a great job here. Because you don't want any of your friends typing some nasty stuff on your Facebook wall. So whenever you are like doing something on Facebook and there's like your friends next to you, I always lock my console. I don't want anybody like, ooh, world is nice or whatever. This is actually pretty positive. you can imagine the worst things. Okay, so the learning point for that is that, of course, lock your console. But the most important learning point is that we need to implement some policies that are preventing to installing devices, like USB sticks. Because USB sticks, it's actually a pretty big threat. And at some point, we need to allow in the group policy only the USB sticks that are representing a certain hardware ID. Every device has its own ID. So we can prevent that in a group policy, as I mentioned. And then you can say, OK, only Kingston or whatever is able to be installed. But I got some news for you. If you still want to use Rubber Ducky, you can still do it. Because you can always change a hardware ID of the device, and you can read it. You can read a very nice article on the forum how to do that. Yes? So I'm a big fan of putting chewing gum in the USB port. Nobody will use it. Not you, you don't need it maybe, but the evil people also won't use that. Okay, guys. So at that stage, I would like to show you another scenario, which is related to unpatched systems. And for that certain scenario, I got a couple of machines here working. So my first machine that I have is actually pretty ugly, because it's a Linux. And I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to use, actually, a very popular vulnerability, with a reason, of course, because I would like to show you the next steps with the rootkits and all the fancy stuff. But the vulnerability that I'm discussing right now is actually a Java vulnerability. How come? Java is always vulnerable. I'm using that on the newest version, downloaded 3 days ago from the Java's website. Yes? Ay, ay, ay. Okay. So, first of all, some graphical interface. Hermitage. Hermitage, it's used by whoever is doing a penetration test. If you want to see some graphics, except for the command line, that's actually a pretty nice tool, because it allows you to use all the vulnerabilities that are used underneath by Metasploit, but in a graphical way. Yes? So if you're more like a GUI person, then it's a perfect setup for you. Okie dokie. So it needs to start up. And it's a kind of ironic, by the way, because it uses Java as well. so it's like, really, you have to do it? Whatever. Okay, so let me, whenever we're waiting for that scenario, let me ask you one question. Who uses Java? Put your hands up. Come on. Like, okay, I see like 80% of the room. Who hates Java? Okay, I see like 100 almost. Yeah, there are actually people that like it. Or maybe you were just, you know, end of the day. I don't want to put my hands. Nah. Okay, so here we go. We've got that Hermitage. And we need to specify right now our IP address, which is 10.10.10.99, sorry. And then I'm going to search for that certain exploit over here. I already see one host around. That's my victim. It's popping up. So Java signed. And this is the exploit. The nice thing about that is that if you want to like establish some exploit, you just go through the settings that are already pre-configured. And it makes your time a little bit more, like you will have more time for something else, for example. And what we can do, what I will do, I will change one setting though. URI path, because I would like this URL that the user is going to access to look very nice. That's it. And I'm going to launch it. So for now, I see that I started some server, the web server, that user is going to access. And it doesn't really matter for me if it's user, if it's admin. We can do this in several ways. Let's use the user that I have right now. It doesn't really matter. So let me log in first to the operating system, and I will show you all things. That particular server that I have, it's actually a terminal server. So what I'm trying to say right now with this Java vulnerability that is working, by the way, on Windows 8, just to mention that, but it's not the Windows 8's fault. It's a Java's fault. Yes? So don't get me wrong. As long as you've got Java, then things can happen. Delicately. Okay. So we've got here 10.10.10.99, and we're entering that on port 8080. So let me enter that certain website. Yep. Come on. Yeah, let me do this from the new tab, maybe. Yep. Sometimes it pop up, sometimes need to wait for it. To be sincere, it's like pretty hard to predict. As you see, I got the requests, It's a handling request. So hopefully we're going to get that message pretty soon. Eventually, I can use also Fox on Fire. And I can try to load it. I can try to load it from that point as well to enrich the communication a little bit. And it's going to be on port, not that one, but 8080. Yeah, and this is what I was talking about. So the question is, are we going to click here? And the story is, maybe not, or maybe we will. And I saw this personally in one of the banks that I've been consulting with, that they had a lot of Java applications that they wrote, like, you know, on their knee in the meantime, because it's showing this really important currency exchange rate. Superb. So at that certain point, if I can click run, it means that the magical things can happen in the back. And right now, I do have a session established with that host. What is even more, I established a connection in the credentials that were the user's credentials, for example. So I can do whatever under user's identity. Either when I do have, for example, administrative credentials, I can jump into a command shell. And what I can do at that point, I can check who am I, and I am administrator. If you don't know what is administrator's password, you don't have to. Don't worry. You can always do net user. Administrator, password, command completed successfully. Well, good to know. So at some point, we may want to try to connect remotely and so on. That's also possible. But right now, what I can do, I can, for example, log into the certain workstation remotely. Yes? So let me actually jump into my server. So this is my session of administrator. Let me lock the desktop. And let me log in locally, because this is what I just resetted with my new password. So here we go. The next thing is that whenever we do have the credentials of the certain machine over there, we can run the vulnerability, the kind of possibility to play with that. That is called psexec. We can do this from here, or we can basically call for psexec from our session that we have. And in here, for example, we can launch psexec against a certain machine right now. So let me launch it. And let me see what I will have. The remote has only provided us with ghost privileges. You might need to make sure that if you've got the correct username and password. So let me check out what I can do at that stage. So I can still do not see a psexec over there. Oh, but to be sincere, it's not really a big deal. As long as I'm able to log into the certain workstation. So let me check out that thing one more time. And yes. Services. We can list that, so that should be fine. And at this point, we've got only guests. Let me check it. Okay. The interpreter. Okay. Sessions. List. Sessions. Oh, come on. Oh. Let me do this here. Sessions. List. And I got that one session used in here, so it's only one. Okay, got it. Might be like that. To be sincere, I'm checking out with a simple reason, because this particular vulnerability in Java, it's working, it's misbehaving sometimes, and actually pretty often. Every time I got like some different result. So it's, of course, it has its own range of what can happen, but in general, this is the concept. Okay, guys, so at that point, what I was able to do, I was able to reset administrator's password, and I can get to the certain machine using that certain credentials that I have. Okay, so for that, I'm going to run additional console, and I'm going to use remote desktop from that site. So R desktop, desktop 10, 10, 10, 2, 51, which is my machine. Okay, in here, I can log in as whoever I want. For example, Freddy. And I would like to show you one thing, because Freddy, he's just a user. Oh, domain. Yep, and here we go. He's just a user. And the interesting thing about that is that I can inject whenever I do have an administrative privileges, of course, and it cannot be different. Either I can be a local system, a small rootkit that I do have on a certain server. So let me show you the concept for that. At that point, I need to jump to my server in here. And over there, I do have a Z drive. Z drive is the drive that I'm mapping. And over here, I've got the rootkit that is called KeepIt. That certain rootkit would allow me to jump a little bit more in the depth of operating system. But first of all, I need to elevate myself to a local system privileges. And how you do it, you already know. Because we need to go basically to psexec minus s minus I minus d cmd.exe. And at that point, I'm able to jump to the Z drive, and then I'm able to run rootkit. You can do this either remotely connect using Linux remotely, either you can do this like that. Yes, I'm the lazy person, easy one. Okay, so KeepIt. KeepIt is a rootkit that is actually using something that is called DCOM. And D, it stands for direct, K, kernel, object, modification. I'm going to modify objects in kernel directly so that you can see how can I influence how operating system behaves, or maybe misbehaves. Yes? OK. So at that certain point, I would like to show you one thing. I'm going to inject, first of all, a couple of things. So KeepIt has its own modules. First module is a DCOM module. So let me load it. Another module, so let me do like that. It's a module that is used for hiding files from administrator's eyes. So let me load that. And the third module that I have is actually related to DL doing a key logging. Perfect. So we are all set. Now what we need to do, we need to run a certain process as somebody else. At that point, our job here is done. So let me be back in here. And I'm going to be back to the Erg desktop in which Freddy is logged on. And Freddy, he's just a user. Net local group administrators. We don't have Freddy here. Freddy is a domain account. He's just a regular domain user. So let me show you one thing. Because at that stage, Freddy can also jump into a rootkit. And Freddy can impersonate himself in the several ways. And let me find out what are the ways. So first of all, Freddy is going to run a certain process. Freddy, a certain process as not himself. PGS that I'm going to use, I'm going to inject that to the process ID, which is 2636, very, very easy. So 2636, to make myself a local system. Oh, of course. This would be cool. Who are me? Who I am, sorry. Wherever I want. That's better. Now I'm system. You see? Ay. Italiana, bad one. So at that point, we are able, for example, to downgrade ourselves. And we can be Freddy again. And in this case, I just need to put PRT for that. So rootkit has its own functions. It's actually based on Futo rootkit that was pretty popular some years ago. And it's doing the same stuff as every rootkit does, which means it resides in a kernel mode, and it influences in a bad way on all the stuff that you are actually doing. So, Freddy, a couple of things more. If you want to be an admin, no problem. We need to check out what does it mean to be an admin. So first of all, I'm going to run Task Manager. And here you see the show processes from all users. But the thing is that you see here only your own processes. But I can check out who else is logged on. And the other person that is logged on is administrator. And as you see, this is ID number one. The nice thing about that is that if you cannot really show processes from all users because it requires administrative privileges, Task Manager is the most creepy, the cheapest, the ugliest, the most terrible to be trashed, wiped from the disk tool. I just love it. It's a personal relationship with Task Manager. Okay, so the thing, what we can do, we can go to task list, and that's something. Task list, and we can use the V switch so that we're able to dump the task list in a verbose mode, and we can target that to see, so let me stream it, to see users, desktop, Freddy. Desktop. And then we can spot this to, for example, 1.txt. OK, and then we got it. We can check out what is on Freddy's desktop, of course. And there is this one. And in here, what is super cool is that we've got session ID, and we've got all the processes from all the users ever. And user can do it. And it's like, joke, task manager, cool. Busted. OK, so we can find out that because administrator was number one, what does it mean to be administrator? And we are searching for a command line that is opened by administrator so that we are able to grab, inject that particular thing. So we need to search for CMD. And sorry for browsing like that, but it's actually a pretty short list. So we can spot it very, very easy. For example, this one. Yes, so we've got 3872. The interesting thing is that this is a PID, and I'm going to use that. So 3872, let me copy that. To use that process ID to impersonate myself in the identity of the person who is running the process. OK, so let me basically do that. I can open up myself a new console, maybe. And I can jump to the Z drive, and then I can go to keep it. And then I can specify a couple of parameters, PST. And then I'm specifying my PID, process ID. I can close this one because I already copied it. So let me remind myself, 2636. So 2636. And then at that point, I can paste here the process ID of administrator. OK. What went wrong? Let me check. This is mine. OK. Mm-hmm. OK, let me start CMD on the as an administrator. Let me verify quickly what is the process ID. We're going to use that at that stage. Administrator 3872. So let me make it like that. 3872. Let me close that. And let me do the same. So 3872, it was actually the one that I wanted to get to. And I'm still Freddy? Oh, interesting. I'm actually wondering why it was like that. 2636, 3872. Hmm? The PST. PST is the one that I need for that. Because PST is allows me to hook myself into the certain process. So in this case, it must be actually PST. Let me check out one more time. No, not really. Oh. I'm sorry?
You had some other command window open, right?
The 2636
was the ID of that window.
Yeah, the one that I'm launching right now because the one that I, I think I know what you're talking about. Let me use that another one then. That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, actually. I'm going to use for that, let me try one more time, 3624, because I just opened it, so hopefully it's going to be like that, 3624. Still the same. Okay, so this functionality didn't really work. I'm pretty surprised. Okay. But the next thing that I wanted to show you, it's supposed to work, and then I should be an administrator. On the other hand, when I'm already administrator, what I can do, I can, for example, list the hashes of the and the clear text user passwords on the certain terminal server. So this could be a small alternative for that. And at that stage, what I could do, I could basically go to the folder in which I've got a certain tool. And then there's a tool that is called WCE. And I can use it with the W switch so that I'm able, for example, to dump a clear text usernames and passwords, yes? So this is the concept. This is what I wanted to show you. I can do this like that, of course. Okay. So at that moment, I would like to show you one more thing. Let me basically close that so that I don't mess up with the other stuff for the rootkit. Rootkit is over there, already there, so I don't need to struggle. I would like to show you a technique that is called cache data. And I'm going to steal the cache data. And cache data, that's something that it's actually referring to a user's credentials. Because with that technique, I will be able to hook some part in the memory and authenticate, hopefully, to the certain machine using an empty password. So the thing is that right now, I do have a session as a user. And I would like to show you one thing. I'm going to lock my desktop. And in here, as an administrator, I will basically show you that if I, for example, do like that, either if I log in with empty password, I cannot really do that. The thing is that if I use the rootkit, I'm able to, first of all, replace a couple of things in the memory, and then be able to display the empty prompt for the password. And a couple of things are at that stage working here. Okay. So for that, let me show you. Let me check out one thing. We got it. Okay. And then I need to browse through some options. What can I do on that search stage? And I got this PBP, blank's password of user identified by username in the memory. But before I do that, I need to elevate myself to the certain process. So in this case, it might be, for example, PGS that I'm going to use. And I'm going to, first of all, elevate my console to a local system. And then, I'm going to use PBP that is used for blanking the administrator's passwords in the memory. So first of all, let's jump to PGS. Okay, so here we go. The same story, PGS, and then I'm going to check out what is the process ID of my console, and this time it's 2608. And now I'm anti-authority system, that's great. And then I'm using this option PBP so that I'm able to search for all the stuff in the memory that is represented as administrator. So that stage, keep it. PBP, and then I'm specifying administrator. And then I'm searching for all the situations in which administrator is somewhere in the memory. And as you see, I got 6 passwords that are blanked. So luckily, whenever I do have that server over here, and I would like to log on as administrator, I can do that by doing just like that. Yay, finally something worked. You like that? Cool. Thank you. So my goal for that presentation was actually to show you how much you don't want rootkit. And the thing is that whenever we do have a rootkit injected, that's only possible if you do have a debug privilege. debug privilege that I showed you at the very beginning of my presentation, so SA debug privilege, it's only possible to grab it whenever you are administrator, and then you would like to elevate yourself to a local system. So basically, we are right now discussing a very simple scenario in which either user has A, offline access to the certain machine. I already proven to you that as long as you got it, you are there. Yes? This is the first lesson learned. Second thing is that whenever you are administrator, you can do whatever you want, even if you are a domain user. For example, you can, for example, say that, since today, I'm not processing any group policies anymore. Of course, possible. Because group policy client is just a service. And as long as you're administrator, you can jump to the registry and change the start of the service status from 2 to 4, from automatic to disabled. And then you're not processing group policy anymore. And so on and so on. Of course we can do it. So this shows yet another thing. If you are administrators of the certain computer, doesn't really matter if it's a domain, even if it's local, or you gain administrative privileges, you can do whatever you want as long as you are able to grab an SA debug privilege. And you are. And the problem with that is that with SA debug privilege, you can inject stuff to kernel. And you can play with as many things as you can. For example, my favorite thing to play with is actually hiding processes. If you will be willing, for example, maybe not today, but when you will be back home, work, and check out on Monday, I actually delivered a presentation 1 year ago on TechEd. It's called Crouching Admin, Hidden Hacker. And I was doing the DCOM technique that is based on hiding the processes from the active process link list. The only and the only and the only and the only mechanism that is used for listing processes in operating system. If you remove the process from that list, nobody will be able to query that. Process is managed, is fine and working, but still not to be traced. Okay, guys. So, unparched systems and applications. We were discussing Java. We were discussing all the stuff that are related to the certain vulnerability. The lucky thing about Java is that it works everywhere. Even in Windows 8, yes? I'm not talking about Java, I'm talking about the Java's vulnerability. That's what I had in mind. Java vulnerability works everywhere. Even in Windows 8. So make sure that you, A, don't allow users to run unsigned applets. If you have to, then, well, what can I say? Yes, if I jump into your network, I can do the same. And if user is used to that view, you will just click yes. So make sure you're going to patch your systems, because there are a couple of vulnerabilities coming. And there are a couple of vulnerabilities that happened. And basically, that's why we've got Metasploit and all things that are related to that. Everything was possible because server was not patched. So this was the very, very, very basic thing. The firewall rules could be configured better. On the other hand, when the user gets the link, when the user clicks the link, user goes out with port 80, with HTTP traffic. So there is not much you can do. You can do filter some requests. So it's not an easy stuff to do, but still possible. User was a little bit too privileged. So let's say user can click on this Java. Somebody will be able to grab this session as a user. OK, well, of course not OK, but let's accept that risk at some point. As long as the user is not a privileged user, then that kind of things, like rootkits, they won't happen. Couple of things more. Summary. Remember, we discussed a couple of things. Why hackers are not halted? Because of the misconceptions, because of the problems, because we are in a hurry, we misconfigure things, we forget about things. Sometimes we're not aware about things. I discussed today things that are related to USB ports. If you want to grab the rubber ducky for yourself, for example, that's available on the Hack5 shop. $39.99. I'm very bad at marketing. Just maybe you need it someday, yes? We discussed online techniques and offline techniques. And the conclusions. So, I don't want to scare you. I don't want to scare you. I just wanted to show you a couple of techniques that are possible in every organization. There is always some laptop standing. There is always some PC over there. there is always some port. There is always one privileged user somewhere. And my job works in a very, very similar way, a very, very simple way. I jump into the infrastructure, and I search for these small misconceptions. And when I get one, I'll get in. And I bet this is not what you want, yes? So browse through your settings, security settings, when you'll be back. To be sincere, I don't want that to sound like awkward, but in 2012, I made over 200 flights consulting my customer in a year. That's like crazy. My husband hates me, in a way, of course. I don't know how he looks. Okay, let's jump to the other part. The thing is that very often when I see this kind of infrastructures, all the stuff that I presented to you, this was all real. This was all that I got from the concepts when I'm doing my pen test. And if you could, please, grab your one thing and secure it. Take it, learn it, use it. I'll make like possibly 199 flights in 2013. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it.